This is Candlebox, right?
Believe so, yes. That's correct.
This is their number one ditty, right? Did they have anything else that hit?
Who knows, dude? Maybe. This is probably their biggest one.
It has to be their biggest smash.
Starts slow, but it picks up.
Pretty good.
It's a good song.
Pretty
it's a classic.
Pretty good ditty.
What, circa 1994?
I wouldn't even have
I think so, because I remember my roommate when I was in law school in Philadelphia. He would play this song whenever he worked out in our basement.
Yeah.
Like on a loop.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, sometimes I wouldn't even know he was in the house, but then I would hear the song.
Yeah.
That was his
jam. I
was
like, oh, Dave is working out downstairs. Yep. He was an odd guy because I lived with our boy Frazier, and this was a fellow like PhD student with Mike. And one time he told us his New Year's Eve or his New Year's resolution was to start watching TV. I couldn't relate. Yeah, I couldn't relate.
Can't relate.
Because he would, this was like, you know, when Seinfeld was big, Frazier and I would watch shows.
Very boring guy.
He was just very studious.
Yeah, probably very successful.
Probably read a lot of books.
Yep. All right, let's get into the Junkie Splits right now. Talk some NFL. We are 10 days away from the start of the season. And hey, EB, your boy, Carson Wentz has found a new home. He's bouncing around the league now.
I believe that's six teams in the last 6 years.
The Vikings are shaking up their depth chart behind J.J. McCarthy as they bring in Carson Wentz, and they trade Sam Howell, who's starting to bounce around the league.
He's well-traveled, too.
Yeah.
That guy's been around.
So what's the situation? Let's go through both quarterback situations. Obviously, J.J. McCarthy, the starter in Minnesota, and then his number two will be Carson, or is that anybody else?
And it's because when Carson Wentz was with the Rams, it was very similar offense that obviously
O'Connell
runs in Minnesota, so he was comfortable. But they have Max Brosmer there, too. They didn't draft him. He's out of Minnesota.
The Vikings released veteran Brett Rippon.
Right.
Oh, Mark's nephew.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe they re-sign him to the practice squad.
Maybe he latches on elsewhere.
There'll be a lot of movement here in the next 48 hours or so. And then Howell goes to Philly, and he's going to be Jalen's backup. What's the quarterback situation there behind
Tanner
Jalen?
McKee is McKee. There, but I think he's banged up. So I guess Howell's like an insurance policy, at least short-term.
They drafted Kyle McCord, but I'm not sure how much time he got in the
play. They waived DTR.
Say what you want about Howell. He's played a full season in the league before. He should be able to handle himself and not humiliate himself during
a
game.
Who are we talking about?
Howell.
Apparently, he was not good in the preseason.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Not just in the games, but in practices.
Yeah, I know. I heard he was bad.
Yeah.
But he did have one game, I think, where he was okay. Mm-hmm. I think maybe his second preseason game was a little bit better. But, you know what you're getting. But these guys will last 10, 12 years as backups. If you have one or two years where you're decent, you can make a career out of that.
Of course.
As a backup.
Yeah, I mean, look at what Marcus Mariota is doing now. Now, he was a much more high pedigree pick. When he was selected, was he number two? Mm-hmm. He was the number two pick.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's going to make $8 or $10 million basically a year as a backup until he decides to hang him up.
Sticking with quarterbacks, Shedeur Sanders expects to make the Browns roster, but he did not go out with the preseason bang. He was sacked 5 times and led the Browns to only 1 first down in 5 series.
I watched
under
every
center.
One of his snaps. You know, they put it all together, and you could see it on Twitter or elsewhere. He's definitely held the ball too long, but he also was being kind of engulfed. And he did have a couple where somehow he navigated his way out of it, and then make a throw and receiver drop it.
But some of his circumstances.
But he wasn't special.
Some of his circumstances. I saw Kurt Warner make a statement like he wishes that Dillon Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders faced the same, circumstances with the same players. And look, the defenses were different against Sanders. According to NFL's Next Gen Stats, Sanders faced 4 blitzes, and he was sacked on 3 of those plays.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Dillon Gabriel, who completed 11 of 17 passes for 129 yards, he faced just 1 blitz.
Yeah. So he could kind of take his time, pick and choose. No,
But his numbers were better.
Yeah.
Much better.
He was better.
You guys can go back and watch the highlights. You can make all the excuses you want for Shedeur, and I'm rooting for him because I like the guy. He was terrible. He was holding the ball forever and ever and ever.
Yeah,
no excuses. Blitz is not. Like, he had plenty of time to get the ball
away.
You
have to know that. Like, you're in the NFL. It's not like being back in college.
He had 5 sacks and 15 dropbacks. Oh, you can't get on the field that way.
No.
And his brother was in the news.
Yep.
As the Buccaneers informed rookie safety Shiloh Sanders that he's getting waived. This came after he threw a punch on the field. He got into a little spat with the tight end, Zach Davidson, who was blocking him after some heavy pushing and shoving.
He shouldn't have thrown that punch, but, I mean, whatever.
That can't be the reason he's getting waived.
No. They just released him, but I think they're going to bring him back to the practice squad. That's it.
Yeah, but Todd Bowles, the head coach, did say, like, this is unacceptable. Yeah. You can't throw a punch.
Okay.
He wasn't a fan.
Let's see.
He wasn't a fan. The head coach of the Cowboys, not a fan of Micah Parsons laying down during the game. Brian Schottenheimer said he's going to meet with Parsons, was supposed to meet with him yesterday to discuss his behavior during Friday's game against the Falcons. It was the third quarter early, and Parsons, who wasn't playing, was lying on a medical table behind the Cowboys' bench
as
the offense drove down the field.
Is he in the last year of his rookie deal?
He's in the last year of his deal, too?
I'm 99% sure, yeah.
I thought for some reason maybe he had another two years left. I haven't looked into it.
I'll double check, but I think he's in the last year.
Okay.
He also was the only player not to wear a jersey during the game.
Right.
I mean, these reports of the offer, I don't know whether it's true. I mean, Jones says that he offered him more money than what Myles Garrett got. And like, it's in the $120 million guaranteed range.
He's on his last year of his rookie deal. The club obviously picked up the option.
I have no idea. I haven't researched it. I don't know if I would trust Jerry, though. You know? I mean, obviously.
A lot of money.
They told him to shove it. Take that offer and shove it. Is that simply because he was talking to the player without the agent present?
I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah, maybe.
I think the agent wants to be there while the framework's been being put together.
It should be. But if they're offering you more than Myles Garrett, you might want to actually look at it. If that's in fact true. Who knows?
Hey, Lael Collins, who was a first-round draft prospect coming out of LSU, was with the Cowboys and looks like they're going to be cutting him. He signed in Dallas at the start of the month, played in all three preseason games, but looks like he is not the answer for them.
Started 71 games in 6 years for them, then played for the Bengals in 22. He had a bad injury, didn't he? I think he had a bad injury.
Speaking of injuries, Aiden O'Connell, he is going to be out 6 to 8 weeks, and he was just going to be a backup to Geno Smith for the Raiders.
Vegas, yep.
But now the Raiders need to find a new backup quarterback, and there are some reports that they are looking at.
Hint, is he currently on a roster? Or is he a street free agent?
Street free agent.
They're looking at.
He's 37.
An old street free agent the Raiders might be
calling.
Believe
he was in the Pro Bowl in 2019. Was with the team as a starter for a long time.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I think the Commanders at one point, supposedly, or the Redskins, were interested in drafting him. His name was thrown around. Ryan Tannehill.
Oh. Wow, he's still out
there? You know what? I don't hate that as a backup. If he could still play, if he could still move around
I'd rather have him than Josh Johnson and Sam Hartman.
Are you kidding?
I mean, there were reports.
Of course.
There were reports that when the Redskins drafted RG3, the Shanahans actually liked Tannehill.
Right.
Well, they definitely like Kirk Cousins, too.
Tannehill wasn't with anybody last year.
No. Right. Sat out.
The entire year.
I believe so.
Don't really like
that.
That's
crazy.
But even with him sitting out, I love him over either of the Skells on the Commanders roster.
Yeah, probably.
Do you know who made a great career? Do you guys remember who made a great career after sitting out like 5 seasons? He ended up having
Maddox.
Tommy Maddox.
Tommy Maddox, right.
Maddox came out of nowhere.
Well, he played in the XFL.
Rejuvenated his career.
Yeah. Yep. His XFL stint got him second life in the NFL.
I don't think this has happened for this guy because he's been out of the NFL for a while. When he was in the NFL, he wasn't doing great. But Johnny Manziel was in the news this week because I guess he was speaking about his other addiction during his playing days.
He said
when he was playing for the Cleveland Browns, he couldn't wait to leave practice so that he could bet on games. He was an NBA addict.
He's a full-blown degenerate.
I mean, he said, I was addicted to the NBA. It was the years of like LeBron coming back to Cleveland. Melo still really good. Kobe, the Christmas games were like amazing.
If you have an addictive personality, if you're addicted to drugs, good chance you're going to be addicted to sports gambling.
He said, for me, I was so tapped in and hooked on weekly basketball to get home from a practice and turn a game on at 7 or 8 o'clock at night. I was effing gambling. I was effing ripping NBA games every single day. Tapped into it. Loved it, bro.
That's the least surprising news I've heard probably in a year.
I wonder what his average bet was.
Yeah, who knows?
Because I'm addicted to it as well. But right. I mean, I could bet $1.75
you know
on a game.
You don't overextend yourself.
He said,
I used to.
He said, after I got cut in Cleveland, I learned about casino credit. Getting a wire and walking to the table taking 100K out and being like, all right, start with 10K, lose it, add another 10K, 20K, and you look up by the end of a weekend and you're going out and you just fly through 100K.
Rami Manziel over there. I know that story.
What a life that dude's lived. He's had some incredible highs and some incredible lows.
That guy's life is a freaking roller coaster.
He doesn't seem too fazed by it anytime you see him.
Nope. He seems good.
Coming up next, we're going to get back to the Commanders after watching this preseason where they get blasted by, I think, 71 points in three games. Are you worried about the Commanders' depth? 1-800-636-1067. We want to hear from Washington fans next. 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Be right back.